We're going to have fun today. We are going to be looking at different activities, and the reason Merlene is kind of snuggling up here is she's got the microphone on, and so we don't want to have to transfer it, and so it makes it easier for me to talk right here. But it's a blessing to have Merlene and Gail out here today, taking time out of their schedule to come and share. Merlene is very involved in the children's ministry at Calvary Costa Mesa. She is a full-time employee in the children's ministry, and we'll be sharing quite a wealth of information pertaining to today and what's going on in this class. Gail is working for Calvary Distribution, and she also has spent time working in the children's ministry at Calvary Costa Mesa and also has a wealth of information to share. I'm excited about this particular class. I always tell them this. They probably think I'm just trying to get them to come and share, but I really mean it. It's a very, very valuable class when you're involved with children's ministry. I do believe in verse by verse, chapter by chapter study. We haven't got into the age appropriate specific points where that is what I like to see in the classroom. But I also believe in very much visual games activities. But there are certain ages that they're better for than others. I think strongly in the young ages, the 2-year-old, the 3-year-old, the 4-year-old, the 5-year-old. It's a wonderful time to have more than just the verbal. As important as it is, it's very important to have visuals. Whether it's spinal graph, which we'll be looking at in another class, or different ways of storytelling, but also with the games and the activities and those kind of things that are going on. You'll also be seeing another thing that I think is really important in the older age classes, as Gail shares how to memorize the Word of God through activities. It's not wrong to do these kind of things. And sometimes when you hear me share, especially the first introduction class, you may walk away thinking, wow, that could be a very boring class. Not so. There are different age-appropriate ways of teaching the children. And this class is so valuable because what typically will happen in a young age class, if you don't have these kind of ideas, is you'll play a lot. You know, you just play. And oh, the ultimate coloring picture. How many ways can you color it? You know, and you don't come up with just some really wonderful ways of reintroducing the Word of God. And I tell you, it is kids can learn this way. And we need to be more age appropriate when it comes to these kind of things. So I'm blessed that they're here, and they will share a bunch, take notes. You've got a lot of notes already. They've done a wonderful job in preparing that. And they'll explain all of that, but anything to help you remember, because like I said at the first class, your notebook is big because it's going to go on a shelf for most of you. And one day you're going to pull that off, and you're going to go, wow, man, that's good stuff. And there's some of you already have shared that you're already actively involved in ministry, and I'm sure that this coming Sunday you'll be using some of these things. So, Merlene, it's all yours.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we just want to give you glory and honor right now. Lord, you are just so awesome. And I just thank you for this opportunity to share ideas with your precious people here, Lord. And I pray that you would just use these ideas to help the children to learn your word and to be encouraged in you. So, Lord, this is your class time. I pray that you would just use my mouth now to share what you would have to be shared in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, preschool. For right now, somebody asked, where's the kids? Well, you guys are the kids. So I want you to go back several years and pretend like you're 2, 3, 4, or 5 years old, because I do not like to talk to adults, so I am talking to 2, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds right now. So if you hear me use words that probably are not very sophisticated, that's where my level is. So so you're going to be young, and you're going to help me play some of these games, and hopefully we'll have some fun today. As Larry said, a lot of times preschool is just thought of as they play, we babysit. It's a time for the kids to come in so that the parents can go to church. But from personal experience, I'll tell you that's not what it is. These kids can learn. I have a 28-year-old, a 25-year-old, and a 17-year-old. And my kids remember things from when they were preschool age more than they do from when they were even in high school. And I started thinking about myself. How many of you, if I said there was an old woman who lived in a shoe, could finish that sentence? She what? Does anybody know?
She had so many children
she didn't know what to do. How long ago has it been since you probably heard that?
A long time ago.
And yet it just came back to your mind. There's probably all kinds of nursery rhymes that's the same case. When I was in high school, I was taking anatomy and physiology, and I had the bones of the Bibles memorized inside and out from when I was in high school, which was a lot later in my life than when I was a preschooler. But yet, I do not know one bone in the Bible. I couldn't tell you the difference between a tibia and a fibia. I don't even know where it's at. But all those nursery rhymes as I learned as a young child, I still have all those in my head. Those first years are so important to be instilling in the kids the Word of God and helping them to memorize Scripture so that when they are older, that will come back to them. And it happens. And little ones can memorize. They're just like little sponges. They're just wanting to learn. They're wanting to absorb as much as they can. Preschool is also important to me because my son, when he was 4 years old, I was not a believer, and he was at a Christian babysitter's house. And he came home to me one day and he said, "Mommy, do you have Jesus in your heart?" I didn't even really know who Jesus was, and I was just kind of like, I didn't know what he was talking about. What do you mean, Jesus in my heart? He said, "If you don't have Jesus in your heart, you won't go to heaven." This is a 4-year-old child. And he believed that so strongly, and the way that he said it to me, I said, "I've got to find out what he is talking about." And that began my search for who Jesus is and what heaven is. And God used this little 4-year-old. And it happens. And it happens in homes, and I get stories all the time about things that the kids are bringing home from a young age. So preschool is important. Another thing that's important with preschoolers is they cannot read, so visuals are very, very important. Even for you to speak and try to explain to them something is not going to be as effective as seeing visuals. If I came in here today and tried to explain all these games to you and I brought nothing with me, you would not get the same out of it as actually seeing it happen. So now it's time for a volunteer. Who would like to volunteer? Oh, back in the corner there, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you consider yourself a pretty articulate person that can convey something to others?
With words?
With words.
Sometimes.
Okay. Come up here. I want you to look at this picture.
Okay.
Can you kind of see what it's doing? Now, I want you to explain to them what this picture looks like.
It's weird. Okay.
It's weird.
It's a bunch of circles in a pattern that the background behind the circles is the same design as the circles. And, there's blue, black, and green spots that make up the rings of the circles, kind of like a dartboard.
Now what is it doing?
It's spinning.
It's spinning. It's a piece of paper that has something spinning. Now, can you guys all visualize that? And you're seeing like exactly what this piece of paper looks like, right?
Yeah.
No. Words cannot do it. But I'm going to pass it around so you can actually see what it is. Kind of. And you can look at it and see. Sometimes we've got to see things in order to really understand what it is. And for little ones, even more so, because they haven't experienced a lot of things in life. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at some ways to visualize and to see and to play and to have fun with the scriptures. So in your handout, first of all, did everybody get a handout that starts out with preschool activities? And did you get a CD? And did you get a little scripture inside of a baggie?
Yes.
If not, if you want to raise your hand and somebody can maybe get that to you. Thank you. The handout that you have that says preschool activities is what we'll be going over. I did not include in that the actual templates and masters for the games here. That is included on your CD because we want to save our trees and we don't want to have a lot of paper out there. We put it on a CD instead. Also on your CD is I have put together a book that is craft ideas and craft techniques. So that is on your CD if you want to print that out and look at it. And also, I'm an internet surfaholic, and so I like to look on the internet and find different ideas. And I put together 100 different types of art supplies that you can make yourself. Everything from Play-Doh to paints to just by using ordinary household items. And these are real fun for the preschoolers to play with. They like to play with Play-Doh and those type of things. So that's also on your CD that you can print it out. So, any questions about the CD and the materials that you have right now? Good. So we're going to start with actual games that we can play. In the Sunday school class, they're more than just a game because we're using it to actually teach them something. There's a big push right now for little ones to go to preschool. And, of course, I have my own theory about why our world would want our little ones to go to preschool. And it is because at that age, that's the formative years of what, who they are, what they believe, and if they can get them at that young age, then they've got them 20 years when they're young adults. So as believers and as instructors of these little ones, we want to do the same thing. We want to train up the child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Instead of memorizing the nursery rhymes, he'll be memorizing scripture. So we're going to start with all of the things that I show you today are hopefully ideas that you can use for any Bible story. If I came here today and I said, oh, here's a great game that you can use for David and Goliath, during teaching time, you may never do the story of David and Goliath, or you would only do it once within a year. So I want to give you tools that you can use for any Bible story. The first game that we're going to look at, I'm going to show you some different ideas that you can use the same concept for, is actually a matching game. So if you want to look right here, what this is, and let me see if I can. See if I can turn this around so people can see.
You dropped one.
That's okay. That's another game. Okay. So this is actually pictures that are turned over. They are attached to a board with Velcro. And it is the rough side of the Velcro so that it actually sticks to the felt or flannel graph. There's also something else you can use, and it's actually a Velcro board, and it is headliner for autos material. And I'll show you one of those too. And this is probably the best thing to use because when the Velcro pulls off, it doesn't get all fuzzy. So this is headliner for autos that they put up in the, or they use it on boats also. And I think Gail knows where to get that from, and she'll talk about that later. So this game here is a matching game, and what it is underneath are pictures from our Bible story. And this picture will match another one in here. So, who would like to volunteer and try to come up and turn two over and see if they can find a match? Okay. Now remember, they can't read anything, so as they're turning over the pictures, you're going to be talking about what that picture represents in the story. Now this can be done either by asking them a question. So here we have David, the shepherd boy, watching the sheep. And we have a match! Yay!
Oh, don't go
me. And you know what? You got a match, so you get a treat.
colorful.
And you know what? You get a treat, too, because you came up and you were a volunteer. Now, we can't eat in the classroom, okay? So you guys have to save it until Mom comes and checks you out. So this would be played, and of course they're going to want to play it over and over again. And again, if you're asking review questions for your story, that would give them a chance to come up and do it. Now, for the real little ones, if they turn over one and they don't get them right, sometimes, I must have had these in order. They don't get them right. Sometimes I will leave them turned over because they get frustrated sometimes because you know what? They're going to come up and they're going to pick the same one that Johnny before him picked because they're like little sheep and they follow the person in front of them. You ever notice if they play hide and go seek, they go hide in the same place over and over again. So sometimes I'll just leave it up so that they can then see what is up there. And it's not a competition. It's to teach them and to help them to learn. And I always give everybody a prize. I would not ever want any of the little ones to go home feeling like that they couldn't play the game or they lost or they were stupid. So they all get a prize in the end. Okay. Now, a variation of this game could be... I don't know where to put it. Okay, well, we'll move on to the next one. What's the variation to that one, Gail? The matching one. Did you give me one? Oh, here it is. That's right. This would be the story of Paul. And so there's different pictures regarding Paul. We actually did this one for a vacation Bible school. Now, you're saying, where do you get all of these pictures from? Well, there are a number of companies now, Gospel Life, Group Publishing, Standard Publishing, that put out wonderful books that have on the front of them the greatest word, reproducible. That means that you can make copies of it and you can use it to enlarge, to reduce, and you can use it for your classroom. Instead of having to buy a notebook and a coloring book and then you can only use it once, they're now making books that you can actually reproduce and use over and over again. Okay, the next idea we have is, where is Ezra? And this thing here is, okay, this game, thank you. And here's my lovely assistant, Gail. this can be used for any story that I think that you can think of. I haven't found one that it can't be used for. For this particular one, we use Bibles. And Ezra is hiding behind one of these Bibles. Now, you could have Ruth hide behind there. You could have the Queen of Sheba hide behind there, Elijah, fisherman, whatever. But right now, we have Ezra hiding behind there. So, does anybody know what the Word of God, the book is, that we read in Sunday school? Do you know what that's called? The what? The Bible. Who said that? Yay! Very good. Would you like to come up and see where Ezra is? He's not back there. Oh, he is back there. I'm sorry. Yay! You guys are so good. Oh, wait a minute. You can't get a piece of candy. Come on. Yeah, you guys are getting them all on the first try. That's amazing. This has never happened before. Did you cheat? Did you watch where I put it? No. So, variations of this game. Do you want to start pulling some of them? This one would be for Daniel in the Lion's Den. Where's Daniel? Behind which lion? And again, you'd ask questions about your story, and then they would come up and they would have a chance to find out where Daniel is. This one, just simple hearts. And maybe it's a theme that you're talking about. Maybe you're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So you would hide the fruit of the fruit one behind one of the hearts or Jesus or a cross. This one is, where is the boy David? The young boy David.
and his brothers and the sheep and the older ones there. Where is baby Moses? So I just want to give you ideas that see the same concept can be used for different ones. Most of these Gail made, so I can't take credit for them. If you're doing Paul, like I said, we did this for a vacation Bible school once. So this is different pictures, so they can actually tell you what the picture represents to look behind to see where Paul is. And I don't know if he's back there. Zacchaeus up in the tree. So which leaf is Zacchaeus behind? The nativity scene, where's Jesus? Which piece is he behind? So baby Jesus in the manger. So you can see that it can be varied in different ways by either using different pictures or using different objects to put it behind. Those Bibles, you can put anything behind because everything is in the Word of God. Is the empty tomb, and this would be a game where you would make two of these, and the way that you make something very large like this is actually just butcher paper with the picture put on a transparency. You put the paper on the wall, put the transparency onto the wall, and then you use a marker and trace over what you put on the wall. So this was just an 8.5 by 11 picture that then was blown up. Now you can take it to one of the copy places and they can make it very large, but usually costs like $6 or $7. This just took a little bit of time. So to play this game, you would have two of these, one for each team, and you divide your class into half. Now I'll tell you right now though that twos, threes, sometimes even fours, I have found teams do not work because they're only interested in themselves. And they don't care if the other team is winning. They just want to make sure that they get a turn and that they're just interested in themselves. But it could introduce to them teamwork and working together as a team. So we'll do it for two teams. So you put two of these up there. You would ask questions. If the team gets it right, then they get to come up and they get to color in one of the spaces. Now, you could use this for lots of different things if you wanted to use it with a bush, with leaves. And whichever team gets theirs colored in first, that team is the winner. Now, of course, the other team is going to be a winner, too, because everybody gets to go home with something from the classroom. Now, this is a little bit smaller version of what you can do, but this is an actual story cube, and this is the story of the parable of the sower. So it's got different pictures of the parable of the sower. And would you like to come up and volunteer?
Yes. Sure you would.
I can tell you're just waiting to do something. I want you to take this, and it's kind of like a dice, and I want you to roll it on the ground, and let's see what it lands on. There you go. Oh, you can put something in it and make it shake. Oh, see, look, there's a good idea. Okay, now can you tell me what that represents from our story if we were talking about the sower?
A thorny bush.
That's a thorny bush. No, very good. See those thorns coming out of there? Very good. The thorns, yes, growing up. And what do?
They prick you.
They prick you, yes, and they choke out the word of God. Yeah, that's right. Very good. Take a candy. Where's the candy? Yay! Oh, it's over there. Well, put it back over here. So they would roll it, and you've used all these pictures in your story, and you've already talked about them, and so this is a review game then for them to be able to play the story. Again, the coloring books and the different clip arts that you can use to make your story cube. This is just cardboard taped together, and you can make it as big as you want. I've made some really big ones, and they have to kind of roll it and to see what it lands on. Normally, we think of bingo as being numbers and letters that they have to guess. Well, you can play with pictures for little ones. So this would be a bingo card for the prodigal son. And I'm going to let you hold your bingo card. And I'm going to let you, because you look like you like to play, hold this bingo card. Okay, I'm going to give you some little markers here. And what you're going to do is, if I show you the picture that's from today's story, is you're going to put a marker on that picture. Okay, do you have the prodigal son being all dirty and because he left his daddy and he didn't have any money left? Okay, that's got that one. Okay, now, the heart in the middle is a free square. The heart in the middle is a free square. That means you get to put your little marker on it. Okay, do you have the money?
Bingo!
Bingo!
We have bingo! Yay! You guys won!
That's
it
first.
Now, for the little ones, they all get the same card, and they all get bingo at the same time, and they're just all very happy because they really don't care if anybody else got it. For the older ones, you can mix it up, and you can have more pictures and stuff, but for the little ones, they just, like I said, they're just interested in themselves, so.
Ooh.
So there's instructions for both the little ones and the big ones. Okay, usually we're trying to take off pictures. Well, we're going to cover the picture on this one. And on this one, I've got four pictures here. Again, you can play in teams if you want. And I've got...
Due to technical difficulties, we are now going to pause this program.
Here. There's four different pictures from our story, and this story here is Jesus calming the storm. And so we're going to have a stack of pictures. Something goes back there. And do you want to hold this one? I'll hold this one. Okay, I'm going to ask a question. What was Jesus in out on the water when the storm came?
A boat.
You raised your hand. That was very good. A boat. Okay. Come and pick a card. And the object of this is to cover up your card. So there, he's going to come and pick a card from the pile, and he's going to put that picture, and he's going to tell me what it has to do with our lesson. What's it a picture of?
A boat.
Wow. What does that have to do with the lesson?
Jesus was in a boat.
Jesus was in the boat. Very good. Okay, can you put it on the boat? Can you match it? Oh, that doesn't have a... Oh, okay, pick that one. Okay, he picked that one. And see that little piece of... There you go. So you continue to play. Now we'll ask the other team a question. What was Jesus doing in the boat when the storm came?
Yes.
Sleeping, yes. You have to come up and pick a card. Candy first. Okay. Can you put it on the one that matches? What is it a picture of?
A boat.
A boat. She got a boat also. So we'll continue playing until their card is completely filled for both teams. Now, if they picked a boat again, then it would have to go back into the pile. They have to wait until they get all of the different pieces for it to match. You only need four pictures for that game. Or for the older ones, if you want to use more pictures, you can. Who's ever been to a carnival and done a cakewalk? Well, that's pretty fun, huh, when they play the music? Okay, you've been. You want to come up here? Okay, and let's see. Who else hasn't had a turn and would like to come up and have some fun? Okay, yes, come on up. Okay, I know both of you girls right here would just love to come up and do this. Yes, I could tell. Okay, now the rest of you, you get to help me because I don't know how to sing, and so I need some help with this. We're going to sing Jesus Loves Me, and we're going to clap our hands while we're singing it, and they're going to walk around in a circle, and you guys can just pretend. And when we stop singing, they have to stop on one of the objects. Now, this is the story of Noah's Ark. So we've got animals and arks and all kinds of things down on the ground. Now, of course, for your class, you could have a big one. And instead of numbers, again, we're using pictures. Okay, you guys ready? Jesus loves me, the child, Now, I have a copy here of all the pictures, and I'm going to pick the lions. Is anybody on the lions? Yay! We have a winner! Yes! And you guys did so good that you get to get a candy, too. Yay! So, just like your cakewalk game, you can use it for your Bible study, your Bible story. Okay, another game that you can do is a sorting game. If you were to cut out different pictures that represent creation and pass them out to the children, and I don't have any for this particular one, but this is where you get to kind of visualize and imagine. They would all have different pictures, and let's say that you had a cat, and you had the sun, and you have grass, okay? Just pretend like you're holding those, okay? Now, when I call you up, you come and you put yours in the right bag. Each of these bags represents the different days of creation, and they have a picture on it for what that day was. Okay, so you have a cat. Do you want to come and put your cat in the bag that represents which day God made the cat? Very good. Yay! And you have the sun. Come and put up here your picture of the sun on which day God created it. Do you remember which day it was? Which day? Day four. Yay! Okay, and you have the grass. Which day did God make the grass, the trees, the flowers? Day three. Yay! Very good. Now, this can be done also as a game that you're putting things in chronological order of how they happen. So you could have pictures, and then you could kind of have the pictures up here that are chronologically, and they have to put them in. Or they could just even match the picture that's up there. And it's just a paper bag with just a visual on the front of it. Okay, just some miscellaneous games that when the pastor has gone over, which we always love when Pastor Chuck goes over because it means that we get to have the kids a little bit longer, but sometimes it's like a little bit longer than what we had originally planned for. So these are just some things that you can kind of do at the end that you haven't maybe really prepared for, but you could have a supply of things. A beanbag toss. Little ones just love beanbags. You can either put a circle on the ground or you can have a box or whatever with a beanbag and have them say their Bible verse and throw the beanbag in. Ask them a question from the Bible story, have them throw the beanbag in. So beanbags are kind of a staple for preschoolers. If you notice, these beanbags are different colors. I'm very much a fan of the wordless book colors, especially for little ones. When I share the gospel with the little ones, in my mind, I'm thinking of the colors to go through the things that I need to share with them. Does anybody know what yellow or gold would represent if we were sharing the gospel message with somebody? Yes. Heaven, that's right, the streets of gold in heaven, and telling the children all about heaven and how exciting it is. But what can't be in heaven? Does anybody know what the dark one would represent?
Sin.
Sin, that's right, and we're all sinners. But who came and died on the cross, and what did he shed for us? Right, that's right. To make our hearts what?
White as snow,
that's right, clean. And if we are believers, what are we supposed to be doing? We are supposed to be
growing,
and green representing growing, going to church and being in fellowship. So the wordless book, when I did first grade, we went through the book of Acts, and my kids knew the colors inside and out, and they could quote the scriptures that went with them. And so the wordless book colored ones are a really good thing to have, because then you can throw them the colors, too, when you're playing your beanbag game. You can just use even a simple paper plate to do a frisbee toss. Now, this one is kind of... We're supposed to catch it. That's okay. The table caught it. Very good. And I can't bend down right now. So just even a frisbee toss, asking questions and saying them back over again. I'm playing a bowling game using the 2-liter bottles and putting either a little bit of water or sand in them and setting them up like a bowling alley, asking them a question and they get to roll a ball to it. You can use your flannel graphs that you've just done your story with. And if you put them up on the flannel graph and you've told your story, and I'm not really sure which, I just pulled some flannel graph pieces. And then they see everything up there and they love it, like when the people are on top of the animal, and they love it when things fall down because it's, and you guys can't see over there, I'm sorry. Let's see if we can move this. And then what you do is you hide it and you pull one of the pieces off. So they have to then guess who's missing or what is missing from the flannel graph pieces that you have. Now, if you don't have flannel graph pieces, you can make your own. Again, this is a coloring book that I've colored, and I've put flannel on the back of it. So you can make your own flannel graphs. A lot of times at some of these discount stores for 99 cents, they'll have even religious coloring books or Bible story coloring books, and they stick on, oops. They would stick on, and you could use them just like you would other flannel graphs. So maybe you don't have a particular story in clip art. There's all kinds of CDs now with children's Bible clip art on them. So you could use pictures from that. Okay, to review your story, you can also... Now I get to humble myself, because like I said, I can't sing, and I have a daughter that sings very well, and my husband sings very well, and they kind of, Mom, what key are you singing in? And I'm like, I don't know, is there supposed to be a key that I'm singing in? So I'm going to, if you don't want to listen, you can close your ears, it's fine. This would be if we were going to sing the story as a review. Again, it's the pictures from the lesson, from a coloring book, and a lot of the familiar tunes work really well to be able to put something to it. This particular one is to the farmer in the dell. Farmer in the dell, the farmer in the dell. But we're going to do it to, this is actually the Good Samaritan. So Jesus told a story, Jesus told a story, Jesus told a story about a Good Samaritan. A man was beaten up by some robbers. A man was beaten up and left on the road. The priest didn't help him. The priest didn't help him. The priest didn't help him. He walked right by. And we would go through. And you do this a couple of times, and pretty soon the kids are singing a song that is actually a Bible story that you just taught them. And I will spare you from going any further. You're my favorite student. You can also take one of your coloring pages, and just like you, we did with the flannel graph, you can cut out different pieces. And a lot of people play this at baby shower games, where they have the tray of all the different baby things, and then you pull one out, and then you have to guess what's missing. Well, this would be with a picture that I took, and I cut out all of the little pieces that go on the picture, even like his hand, his mustache, And so you would pull off one of these after you've turned it around and you've asked what is missing. So they're seeing that visual of the story of Jesus and the Last Supper, you know, the communion pieces, and then they're looking to see what is missing from that particular lesson. I don't have the enlargement of this, but this is Jesus praying in the garden. And this would be like pin the tail on the donkey, so I would make it big like I did this down here. And I would give them flowers then to put in the garden. But again, you can play this with anything. The little ones, you probably wouldn't want to blindfold. You tell them to cover their eyes or to close their eyes, but they don't anyways, and they put it where they want to put it. The older ones, you can put a blindfold on them and just thinking of different things that kids like to do at birthday parties, at carnivals, and making them so that you can apply the lesson to it. You've seen the little peanuts that have like a ball or something under it that they get mixed up. Well, this is these are houses, and which house is Jesus in? Is it Lazarus's house? Is it, you know, you could pick different people's houses and whose house would it be in? Let's see, who hasn't had to turn it something to be able to, I don't think you have you? Have you had a turn? Okay, do you want to pick a color? You can just tell me from back there.
Blue,
okay, do you think Jesus is in the blue house? You guys are just too good. Jesus is just on a clothespin, and this is just, you know, made out of two pieces of construction paper glued together. So you could do, you know, houses, or you could even just use a box, but you could put something on the front of it if you wanted to make a tree and have Zacchaeus under the tree, and you know which tree is Zacchaeus in. And again, they're going to want to play over and over again, and they're not going to want to go home, and they're going to want to come back next week, and you just get to have fun. It's just... What is it? Okay, let's say that you've gone through and you've told your story here, and this is the story of Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and Jesus died on the cross, and the soldiers were guarding the tomb, and the tomb was empty because Jesus rose, and the angel told Mary that Jesus wasn't there. So we have the Easter story here, and what we're going to do is we're going to put it in like an envelope. And I'm going to start pulling up one of the pictures very slowly. And I'm going to do it over to this side of the class just so we can see. And let's see who can guess first which picture it is. Yes?
Crucifixion.
The crucifixion. Very good. Yay! So using any lesson, and then they're looking to see what picture it is. Okay, memorizing scripture. Who's the active one in here? Who's got lots of energy? Oh, I know somebody's got to have lots of energy. Okay, come on. Yeah. You're nominated. Okay, who else has lots of energy? I know that there's got to be a girl in here that has lots of energy. Right here? Okay, yeah, come on. Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're going to say the verse, Hosanna in the highest. Can you say that with me? Hosanna in the highest. Okay, now you get to move around as much as you want as long as I have this one saying Hosanna in the highest. But when I put this one up, you have to stop. Okay? Ready? Wait, I want to hear the verse. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Oh, there you go. Okay, let's try again. I'm sorry, I did not explain very well. Okay, ready, set.
Let's head in the highest, let's head in the highest.
Very good.
Let's head in the highest.
Because little ones love to move, and they love a lot of action. So here they are moving around. Now, if they keep going, then they get to sit down until the next time when we do that again. So, very good. And you look like you need some more candy. So they're saying their verse over and over and over again. Duck, duck, goose. We've played duck, duck, goose as kids forever. Instead of saying duck, duck, goose, you can use actually the Bible verse, and I'm going to just pretend like you guys here are sitting in a circle, and we'll use Hosanna in the highest again. So I'd say Hosanna, and as I'm walking around, in the, and when I get to the last word, highest, that person then gets to chase me around. Now this is going to cause the kids to start thinking about what the verse is. They're going to be hearing it over and over again, and they're going to want it to get on their turn because they want to be it to be able to chase them around. Now, you can also play this like the hot potato, where you pass a potato around, and again, they're going to be watching, and you can almost see their little brains like trying to calculate out when that, you know, potato or beanbag or whatever it is going to get to them. And they're hearing the verse over and over again. In the back of your book is different science ideas that you can use to introduce different concepts of God, visual ideas, and also on the CD in the back of the craft idea book, I've got different websites that I have found very useful. So if you look in the one that says crafts, in the back of that are different websites and different places to get different supplies and different reproducible books and such. So, I think that is all we have time for. Are there any questions? Yeah, we kind of talked to you. any questions? No? Okay. You guys are so quiet. You're definitely not like 2s and 3-year-olds. Boy, you did very good. Yay. Well, Lord bless you.